listening to the Daily Gold Podcast, covering precious metals, the junior mining sector, and global capital markets for intelligent investors. Now, here is your host, Jordan Roy Byrne.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Daily Gold Podcast. I am here with Joe Mazumdar on the end of the first day of the Metals Investor Forum. And Joe, you gave a talk earlier today, and can you just summarize for us a few main points from that that you wanted the audience to get out of it?
So in the talk, what we discussed is what we're seeing in the market right now, what we've seen in 2016, how we acted upon what we thought we would see, how our portfolio did overall in terms of our closed positions, and what we're going to look for going into 2017.
And digging a little bit deeper into that, can you maybe summarize, maybe give us an additional bullet point or two that you want the audience to take away from that?
Well, in terms of the commodities that we think that people should look out for, zinc's definitely still a commodity that's in significant deficit with respect to its market balance. We look at copper right now and see the weeks of consumption with respect to stockpiles going really low. So if anything happens in that copper market, that could spike as well. Gold is looking better in terms of retracement right now, even though the U.S. dollar has been strengthening. And if we see this in multiple currencies, which we are seeing, going forward, we anticipate more volatility with the current president. So that should be bullish for gold. I mean, we still see this issue with negative interest rates because now we've moved from a deflationary potentially to an inflationary environment. So if the interest rates don't change, then we can still have negative interest rates. In terms of the deficit for the U.S., you're almost looking at one times GDP right now. You're over $19 trillion. And some analysts have sort of said that, you know, it's going to grow more. And we've seen it historically grow in Republican and Democratic administrations. And going forward, some say that, you know, Trump's presidency, if he gets to do what he's saying, might add another $5 trillion to it. So in terms of that, that is bullish for gold. But getting that apart, what we're looking for is the underlying fundamental in terms of the market that nobody's doing any exploration. The quality plays just do not exist. And so we're moving down cap with respect to market cap, and we're moving up upstream with respect to exploration versus development and production, because we don't see a lot of people exploring. So we're keying in on that in 2017, which is a lot of what we did in 2016. So not much change there for us.
Okay. Now, since you're focused on quality, then is it fair to say that looking at the commodities, you worry less about where the metals may be going and more about the quality of a company or an asset?
Yeah, and especially, you know, because commodities obviously are cyclical, we did quite well. Like, I think we've got 500% return on Ivanhoe this year. And that is a copper project right now that, you know, is in the Democratic Republic of the Congo in predominantly a flat copper environment in 2016. And what drove that price up was mostly discovery of a new deposit that they hadn't known about at the beginning of 2016 that they had advanced to a PEA in only about 10, 11 months. That's what drove that asset. And so if you can find these plays that have still exploration upside and good teams that could, that asset that you don't even know about might drive that stock up irrespective of the underlying commodity.
Yeah, I want to follow up on exploration upside because I have never heard a company say, in regards to their asset, there's no exploration upside. Yeah. I mean, if a company said it's closed at depth and closed at strike, that would be the first statement of that in the history of the world. So every company says that basically every asset they have has exploration upside. How can we as investors who are not as knowledgeable as you and Brent, how can we go in there and kind of figure out, okay, who's serious, you know, what really has potential here and what doesn't? Are there a couple things we could look for?
Well, I would say, like, what is the deposit you are looking for? And so if the deposit that they have is a marginal deposit and they're telling you that there's more exploration upside, I don't really care. I don't want to find more of this. But if it's a deposit that's, or an intersection that's very high grade, and it looks like it's structurally complicated and they're doing more work on it, and if they could put a few of these pods together and suddenly they might have a 2 million ounce high grade underground deposit in a district scale land package, that's something I'd be interested in. They have to have something that we think a major or a producer would be interested in. We don't want them to find something just to have another ounce on their balance sheet. We need that ounce to actually be something that will be coveted by somebody else, because most of our exploration stories, we know that they're not going to build it, we know that they're not going to produce it, and we don't want them to.
And to follow up on that again, how can you tell the potential for something in terms of size? How can you gauge whether, okay, this is a good discovery, but you know, if it's only 400,000 or 500,000 ounces, it's just not going to really amount to much? How can you tell what has 2-3 million ounce potential versus something that's too small to be built as a mine? I mean, is it the land package, or what
well,
else
what
might
we would
it be?
Do, what we would do is that we would look at the drilling. We would look at, or at least a soil anomaly, whatever, and then put through the dimensions of it in terms of length, width, thicknesses. We'd look at the specific gravity of that kind of rock type. We'd look at the grades that they're running, and we'd say, what is the potential of that? And we'd say, well, Jesus, that's 350,000 ounces grading 10 grams. Well, that's a nice deposit. Like, how long does that need to be? Oh, it only needs to be about 200 meters. Well, they've got 2 kilometers or 3 kilometers of this, and they were still working it out. So, well, and they're trading at a market cap of 5 to 10 million. I said, well, that's a good bet. You know, then maybe they could find some more of these pods. You know, and that's what we would be interested in. And so you have to do a bit of math to find out what they have. You'd have to understand a bit of geology to know what that deposit looks like and what it could be. And that really comes from the fact that we're both geologists and we've done this before.
Right. And, Joe, you've already given such great info here in this interview, but second to last question would be, how can you help our listeners make money? Obviously, they can subscribe to your service, but maybe if you'd like, you can give away a stock pick or mention something else. But yeah, just to repeat that, how can you help our listeners make money this year?
I would say, like, if you're looking for leverage, stick to the commodities that right now look to be in a severe imbalance and deficits, which zinc and copper. Gold always looks like a good play. In terms of uranium, I think we're still a little bit too early on that play. So if you're looking for exposure, those would be the commodities that you probably want to expose yourself to. But in terms of quality, you have to do your due diligence, because the issue is that you'd have to understand what this deposit is, because you're not going to get it from the PowerPoint presentation. You're going to have to read the technical report and understand it. You're going to have to do your own homework. And like for an example, I did a comparable with this gold copper deposit that we have in Turkey. And they just put out a preliminary economic assessment. They're saying, oh, this has got 150% IRR, which is incredible, because the grade's incredible, the upfront capital, it's not even sensitive to that. So it's an incredible deposit. So I thought, well, how real are their costs? And so I compared it to another company that we were looking at. And that company, the copper concentrate product that they're coming out with, is sort of like 15%. And for me, because I used to work in copper a lot, I know that's not a great copper concentrate. And that's the product this mine is going to produce. So that's telling me that this is not a great product. So that's telling me nobody's going to buy this. So that's not a company I'm interested in. And that just took an easy comp. All I had to do was, and I was only looking at it to compare my company with it. I hadn't even realized it was so low. But that's a quick thing that I could find out just in 20 seconds by looking at the press release.
Wow. And you mentioned uranium. I did want to ask you one question about that. Could you give us a few more thoughts on uranium? I mean, I just to throw in my own technical insights, it has made a beautiful double bottom on on the chart, textbook bullish pattern. And we know that the charts can run well ahead of fundamentals. Yeah. and it's such a small sector. I mean, any thoughts on what's this huge rebound that it's had and what investors should be doing now, what, if they own it or if they don't own it?
Well, some of the, you know, the investor impetus to buy that is not unlike their impetus to buy some projects that have permitting issues, thinking that the new administration is going to change the EPA and everything's going to be easy to permit. So all these things that take a long time will suddenly take no time. Suddenly, I'm going to, make, uranium industry change. You know, I'm going to produce more nuclear arms. I don't know how that actually translates into uranium production because you're actually enriching. You don't really need that much uranium. So it seems like a bit of hype under that. But what the most interesting part is, read what Cameco said. So you got the Cameco CEO who actually produces uranium and has to sell it to somebody, telling the analysts before he actually puts out his full year results that you are way too high. There's no way we're going to make those numbers. So he's telling the market basically that there's no new contracts coming out. The price is about $22. We produce for $40. Those long-term contracts are basically what's saving us. When those long-term contracts that we have expire, I don't see any more long-term contracts. So my exposure to spot's probably going to increase, not decrease. So that's the worry. So if you play the uranium market, I wouldn't play it with a producer, which was our failing last year, because we looked for leverage and we bought a producer. If you're still interested in the uranium market, and it most likely will rebound sometime, it might be 2020, look for an explorer, because you know they're not going to be producing or doing anything for the next 5 to 10 years. And that's basically what the Chinese are doing. They're investing in NextGen. They're looking at fission. They're building an asset in West Africa right now because they know they need uranium because all the growth is coming from China.
Okay, Joe, before I let you go, please give out your website and how they can subscribe to Exploration Insights. By the way, you're the co-editor of that along with Brent Cook. I forgot to say that at the beginning.
No, that's no problem. It's www. I don't even think you need to do that anymore. ExplorationInsights.com. And it's just there's a subscribe button, and all you do is subscribe. So the monthly subscription, and you can cancel any time. We don't offer trials, and there's no discounts.
All righty. Well, I recommend the serious investors, or if you consider yourself a serious investor in this sector, you definitely need to subscribe to this publication. It's expensive for a reason, because they're the best in the business. Joe, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you very much, Jordan.
Thank you for tuning into the Daily Gold Podcast. For more interviews, editorials, and analysis, log on to thedailygold.com. And for premium coverage of precious metals and the best junior mining companies, visit thedailygold.com/premium.